Hey ladies, it's Bridget Todd here. As women, we put our hearts into everything. May is High Blood Pressure Education Month, and it's time to focus on our heart health. Release the Pressure wants to help Black women look at self-care as an act of self-preservation. During High Blood Pressure Education Month, let's help get to our goal of 100,000 Black women putting their hearts first and learn more about their heart health. Visit iHeartRadio.com/RTP for a chance to receive a $1,000 gift card to take care of yourself and prioritize your heart health. That's iHeartRadio.com/RTP.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, "The more MQLs, the better," over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
One of my favorite conversations I've ever had on There Are No Girls on the Internet is with a writer who was targeted and harassed online about how she continues to stay safe while doing visible work on the internet. Without missing a beat, she said, "Anybody worried about online harassment should sign up for Delete Me." I signed up for Delete Me right then and there, and I personally recommend it to anyone. Sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. Now at a special discount for our listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/nogirls and use promo code NOGIRLS at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/nogirls and enter code NOGIRLS at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/nogirls, code NOGIRLS.
When the world is a disaster, people want nostalgia, even if it's a false nostalgia. And this nostalgia for a quote-unquote better time when women were quote-unquote traditional is really obscenely misplaced.
There Are No Girls on the Internet is a production of iHeartRadio and Unboss Creative. I'm Bridget Todd, and this is There Are No Girls on the Internet. If you are a woman, listen up, because I need to tell you something kind of important. It turns out we have all been tricked. Oh yes, feminism was a lie, and it was just a scam to get us working outside of the home so we could provide more taxable income to the government. It turns out that we were much better off back in the 50s as traditional housewives. Think about it. We didn't have to work outside of the home, and we could spend all of our time raising our kids and running a household. And we were so much happier back then, too. You know, back when we as women couldn't own property, couldn't vote, couldn't take out a credit card. Oh, and it was also legal for our spouses to rape us. So if you spend any time at all on TikTok, you're probably seeing an influx of this kind of content, which is commonly called trad wife content, short for traditional wife, that posits that women weren't just happier, but also we were more empowered when we stayed at home and embraced more traditional gendered roles in the household. And I believe that this is not a coincidence. Against the backdrop of some pretty scary and heavy political and social happenings, things like economic instability, impending climate crisis, which always disproportionately harms women more, the gutting of Roe versus Wade, and the loss of the right to control our own bodies, I think content like this does two things. One, it responds to and exploits the understandable fear and anxiety that a lot of women are feeling, particularly in the absence of any kind of a meaningful institutional support. And I also think it's kind of meant to soothe us in a way. You know, don't be too angry, ladies. You were much better off without rights anyway. But all of this content is just a depiction of a fantasy life that never even really existed. And it's yet another way that social media is trying to sell women on a dangerous lie.
I'm Joe Piazza, and I'm an author, journalist, and podcaster, most recently the host of the podcast called Under the Influence.
On Joe's great podcast, Under the Influence, she chronicles how the business and culture of influencing, social media, and the internet has impacted women. And right now, a lot of what she's seeing includes trad wife content. So your podcast is amazing, and that was one of the reasons why I was so excited to talk to you today, because, you know, I've been scrolling social media a lot lately, and I can't seem to get away from this, like, I guess, trad wife content, this content made by women that is sort of giving us this idea that being a traditional stay-at-home wife and mother is the path to power and happiness for women. Have you seen this content on your feed?
Yeah, not only have I seen this content on my feed, but it has been dominating my feed for some reason. Maybe sometimes I'm like, Instagram knows I'm pregnant and wants to force me to stay home in the kitchen barefoot and pregnant forever.
And it thinks you'd be happier if that's how you lived your life.
And they think I'd be happier. And you know, so my gut reaction to this is, and it's the same as it is with most things, if you want to stay home and be a quote unquote traditional wife and, you know, take on all of the trappings of domesticity that were popularized by mass media in the 1950s, and this is what you really want, fucking awesome. You do it. You do you. And my feminism is mostly centered on women choosing what makes them happy. I do not necessarily think that, this is the path to empowerment for the majority of women, but I do think that this is becoming so popular. And we know that Instagram surfaces things that they think will soothe people's addled brains as they make them more addled, because the world is kind of a disaster right now. And when the world is a disaster, people want nostalgia, even if it's a false nostalgia. And this nostalgia for a quote unquote better time when women were quote unquote traditional is really obscenely misplaced.
Yeah, it almost seems like it is painting a fantasy portrait of a time that did not exist, because it did. You know, yeah. Even for white women back in the day, I'm not necessarily quick to say that they were so happy. You know, it was like legal for your spouse to rape you. You couldn't own property. Mm-hmm. You couldn't, you know, take like have your own money. Like, I don't.
You couldn't have a credit card.
Right. And
yeah. So, I mean, let's be honest. It's mostly not having a credit card and rape, marital rape.
Right. So I think it harkens back in a way that paints these times as like really rosy and yeah, it's like a fantasy world that never even existed, even during that time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And not to mention the fact that it absolutely 100% never even existed in media for Black women and women of lower economic statuses and immigrant women. So yeah, it's a completely, completely false nostalgia.
And I think you hit on something interesting, which is that these TikToks, especially that I see, that really seem to be trying to convince women that we've been lied to into thinking that having a job and, you know, working outside of the home is empowering. It really, for that narrative to work, you basically have to ignore non-white women. You have to basically say, like, I'm a white woman talking to other white women in a world mm-hmm. where people who are not white, if they exist, we're not speaking to them. We're not thinking about their experiences. We're not interrogating that at all.
No, exactly.
The whole idea of a happy woman who enjoyed an idyllic life in the home, tending to her family while her husband did the wage-earning labor, is just kind of a fantasy. Obviously, it certainly did not exist for non-white women. And it kind of didn't even really ever exist for white women either. Or not the way we've been led to believe, anyway. In fact, Joe says the entire happy housewife thing was a creation presented by a few specific pieces of mass media that made its way into the culture and just kind of stuck.
I mean, the whole trad wife aesthetic really does come from a very narrow sliver of 1950s sitcoms. And we are talking June Cleaver, we're talking Daddy, Father Knows Best, Daddy Knows Best. I mean, we're the shows we saw in Nick at Night as kids, really. And it was mass media telling us that this is what the world looked like. When it didn't look like that for the majority of white women, it never looked like that for Black women, women of a lower economic status, immigrant women. And I think, look, we're desperate. We are desperate to cling to something because the world isn't working right now. I don't think that the concept of women working outside the home, I think work has failed all of us, not just women. Work has failed to empower us as a human race right now. And so there is this small set of people saying, well, what if you didn't have to work? Look at these women who didn't have to work, these like three women who didn't have to work in 1954. Don't they look so happy in their gingham dresses with their beach waves that they never could have really gotten in 1954? They do that shit with the Dyson hand wand.
Yeah, I love your point that we're, even if you're thinking about mass media from the 50s, the trad wife stuff from that was shown there is only a small like subsection of shows. Like Lucille Ball, even she wanted to be on the show in Desi's show back in the day. Yeah. So like they're not even demonstrating that like it was a dominant culture.
Never. Lucy wanted to work. Lucy was messy. Lucy was, I mean, I love Lucy. I just said I love Lucy. Because she was delightfully fucked up in so many ways. And she kind of bucked the trend of the trad wife that was on TV in so many ways. You don't see that if you just like, you know, glance at one episode of the show, but she really did it. And Lucille Ball in real life was a goddamn baller. She owned her brand. She owned her shit. She owned her show. So she was not a trad wife in any way, shape, or form. But the fact that we keep getting served this on Instagram, and this is not what I want to be seeing right now. I want to be seeing more nap dresses and caftans. And frankly, I'm just in the mood for some fucking cat memes. I don't want to see a trad wife.
Let's take a quick break. Hey ladies, it's Bridget Todd here. May is High Blood Pressure Education Month. It is crucial for us, especially as Black women, to focus on our heart health. We pour our heart and soul into every aspect of our lives, but often our own health takes a back seat. That's where Release the Pressure comes in. It's all about us, Black women, seeing self-care as an essential act of self-preservation. Whether it's for yourself, your family, or your community, your health is invaluable. Let's help get to our goal of 100,000 Black women putting their hearts first and learn more about their heart health. Here's how you can join in. Head to iHeartRadio.com/RTP for a chance to receive a $1,000 gift card to take care of yourself and prioritize your heart health. Let's make our health a priority. Visit iHeartRadio.com/RTP today. Together, we can make a difference in our health and our lives. Join us and let's take care of our hearts together. Hi, it's Bridget Todd, host of There Are No Girls on the Internet. Listen, technology has made our lives easier in some ways, but it's also made us homebodies, scrolling mindlessly. Well, you get the point. Let Rails to Trails Conservancy unstick you from home. When you get out on a trail and get to walking, you'll feel so good. Trust me. You'll see that being out on the trail is so much more than a day outside. It's good for your soul. Get ideas for getting outside on the trail from Rails to Trails Conservancy, the nation's largest trails, walking, and biking advocacy organization. Visit railstotrails.org/iHeart and on social media at @RailsToTrails. Y'all know I love the internet, but a sad truth about it is that it can be a scary place, especially for women, people of color, and trans folks. We've talked to people on this podcast, whistleblowers, activists, and advocates who are making technology safer, who then become targets for doing that work. But the truth is, it can happen to any of us online. That's why I personally use and recommend Delete Me. Delete Me finds and removes any personal information you don't want online and makes sure it stays off. Sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount for our listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/nogirls and use promo code NOGIRLS at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/nogirls and enter code nogirls at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/nogirls. So in 2024, one of my goals is to finally get serious about my finances. It's been kind of a big emotional thing for me. Thinking about money historically has caused me a lot of anxiety and stress because I have a lot of trauma related to money. And if you can relate, if that sounds like you, check out Fearless Finance. Fearless Finance provides on-demand, comprehensive financial planning by the hour. It's a new way to get financial advice without all the headaches, high fees, and commitments that come with traditional financial advisors. Fearless Finance planners don't sell anything. No used car salesman vibe here. And that means no concerns about being sold something just for the commission that it earns a rep. Their planners meet you where you are on your financial journey. No judgment, whether you're looking to buy a house, optimize your savings, or just want to make sure your finances are okay. They can answer your questions and help you achieve your goals. No question is too small. No problem is too big. Fearless Finance is making financial advice more affordable and accessible. You meet with your planner virtually, and they charge by the hour. Visit fearlessfinance.com today to get started. You can chat with a planner for free to make sure it's a good fit. And you'll get $50 off your first planning meeting when you use code GIRLS. And we're back. To be clear, there is absolutely nothing wrong with not working outside of the home or finding enjoyment in the domestic. But what can be scary are the ways that trad wife content can present a palatable pipeline for women to be led into extremist ideology. Yeah, and I think that you make a good point about the way that it's definitely being like surfaced right now for whatever reason. And I think that's what I think can be kind of almost harmful, right? Like trad wife stuff for me is like a little annoying, I find it a little bit smug, but I know that a lot of that content can really be a pipeline into like more extremist thinking. You know, if you are saying like, oh, well, the world was much better in the 50s and the 40s when, you know, people of color, quote, knew their place and women knew their place. It's like a hop, skip, and a jump away from some pretty nasty, extremist, you know, ideology.
I wouldn't even say it's a hop, skip, and a jump. That's giving it too much credit. That's saying that it would take us three steps to get there. I mean, I think that we're kind of just teetering on the edge of this dangerous territory. It's also for me very dangerous because it pits two groups of women against each other. It pits the woman who does stay at home for whatever reason to take care of her children, to take care of her home, because she fucking has to, because there's no goddamn childcare in this country, against the woman who either chooses to work because she wants to, works because she has to. And it's setting up this dichotomy that says, oh, like this life is better than this life, or this woman is so different from you that you are at odds with her, when at the end of the day, we're all doing labor. Raising children is labor. Making meals, cleaning the house, it's labor. Like neither of these things is necessarily better than the other one.
Yeah, that's actually my biggest, other than the like extremist ideology, that's one of my biggest problems with this kind of trad wife content is that it really, I think a lot of times hinges on this aspect of comparison. And that's part of it that I don't like. I think there's like a smugness to it that's like, I've figured something out that other women are too stupid or too shallow to see. And I just feel like if people, like, I think people should do whatever makes them happy, whatever they can afford to do. You know, I also think there's a kind of, in some of the content, there's a kind of persecution complex, like, oh, I don't want to be on Tinder or in the office or away from my child or having my children in public school, and I'm demonized for it. And I think in 2022, this is my opinion. I don't necessarily see a lot of people demonizing women who aren't working outside of the home. I think that, like, frankly, if in my opinion, if you figured it out how to make that work for you, like, I'm jealous, if anything. Like, I think that's great.
God bless you.
Yeah.
God bless you.
And I think you're right. It sets up this dichotomy of two different groups of women where one is better than the other, or one's choices are better than the other, or more real than the other. And I just think it's not really a binary. Plenty of people, especially parents, will work, will leave the workforce, come back to the workforce. It's not this binary thing where if you are able and enjoy not working outside of the home, that is like a that innately makes you better. I just think it like it negates the reality of just like being a person who has to make choices that are right for their lives.
Totally, absolutely. And also a lot of the tradwife content, much like most of the content on Instagram, is a glossified version of reality. And it's also a lie. You know, a lot of these traditional wives claim that this tradwife lifestyle is about paying homage to a slower, more intentional lifestyle. There's nothing slow about being at home with two toddlers. Are you kidding? Like, give me my work day any day where I'm like sitting at my computer and drinking coffee rather than getting up every 2 minutes to be like, I need strawberries. This water doesn't have enough ice. There's something weird in between my toes. What the fuck? That is not slow and intentional. That is being, I say this all the time. I love my kids. Like, I really, really like them. I like being a mom. And I also don't really want to be alone one-on-one with them for longer than 3 hours at a time. I don't. I'm exhausted. I need a break. And I just, for me, striking a balance between doing meaningful work and caring for, I also don't want to come home at night and have them already in bed, right? So meaningful work with caregiving, I mean, that's the goddamn sweet spot for me. And I think everyone has to find their own sweet spot.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think, you know, that's, for at least for me, like, that's what feminism is about. Like, like women being able to make the best choices for them and that being okay. And I think, you know, every time I see one of those TikToks, it's like, I live a slow life. Part of me wants to be like, what part of a slow life involves setting up a tripod? You know what I mean? Like, if I'm living a slow life, I'm not, like, a lot of the TikToks that I see on that are like, probably involve an incredible amount of like work to put together. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, it doesn't look so slow and soft to me. It actually looks like a lot of work went into this on top of being around your kids, which we know is exhausting and draining.
Awful. I mean, it's just, let's be honest, a lot of it is awful. Yeah, those beach waves, that wasn't slow. It took a lot of work. Those eyelashes, you've all got fake eyelashes on. There's nothing slow and intentional. Well, actually, it's intentional. There's nothing slow about putting on fake eyelashes.
Oh, no, it's incredibly time consuming. And like, yeah, I think like that's, I don't know, part of me wonders if like, there's just something about this content that is tailor-made for social media in that it invites comparison and it is an easy way to sort of polish up a lie, you know, that like you're living a slow life, you're so centered and in touch with your kids and yada, yada, yada. But in fact, it can be none of that, but you're presenting this very pretty package to women and moms, a lot of whom are frankly at their limit. They've been doing remote learning. They've been through this pandemic, we've gone through like tampon shortages and baby formula shortages and no meaningful institutional support or help. Continuing to sell moms this polished up lie is almost kind of cruel to me.
It is cruel. It's absolutely cruel. And I think it's a very patriarchal view of the work of motherhood, of saying, oh, look at these beautiful pictures of these beautiful houses. This is so easy. This is a slower life. No, that is work. That is so much labor. And, you know, I've dabbled in the domestic arts at times. And that's harder work for me than having a dozen meetings in a day, trying to make a zucchini bread. Okay. Like, it's just like, I'm not good at that. It's not innate to me. That's not to say someone else doesn't wildly enjoy it. And I do think that we've sidelined work in the home. Right. And my biggest issue is always that we just don't call things done in the home work, but neither do the trad wives. They're blowing off that work. They're saying this is a slower and easier lifestyle and not recognizing that everything that a woman does in the home is actual work.
Yeah, I think that's a good point that like, if you are a mom or a parent who is engaging in the pretty exhausting work of raising little humans, to have someone go on social media and be like, actually, this isn't labor. This isn't work. This is just something that, you know, you should always enjoy, that should come naturally to you as a woman, that should just be really pleasing and nice and happy and gentle and slow. I think a lot of parents, the work of raising a child does not feel happy or slow or any of that. And I don't know, it's just another way to lie to women about the work that we're all doing, that we are doing and sort of this burden that we all have to, that we're all shouldering, and telling us that we should enjoy it all the time. It just is like another added way that we're just not supported.
No, it really is. It's another way of putting it down and putting down the labor that we put into a life, to make a life, to raise human. I think that raising human beings is one of the hardest things that I do in this portfolio of many things that I do in our economically precarious society. But it also, it remains undervalued in the traditional wives movement. While they claim that they're elevating it, are continuing to undervalue it by saying this is an easier way of life.
Oh, that's so true. I really want to see like the 70s, 80s era, completely checked out mom who has not seen her kids all day. And when they come home, she's like, oh, I hope you've been fed because I'm not making dinner. I want that mom to come back into vogue.
Fuck yeah. I mean, the parenting book that I want to write, and then no one will let me write because cancel culture, is a parent like it's 1984, man. Put them in the way back of the car. Let's find some candy cigarettes, right? And plop them in front of the TV and give them all the sugary cereals because you know what? And smoke and drink in front of them too, because that was my life. Even if I had a cigarette now, I'd probably die. But sometimes I still think about it, about how like wonderful it would be. And I feel like I turned out fucking great. And I was a latchkey kid whose parents chain smoked 2 packs of Cools a day in front of me. I don't even have asthma.
It's honestly so funny to see the different, like, I don't want to say trends, but waves of parenting. Because, yeah, I was parented like that. I feel like I was the last generation of kids whose parents were like, go outside. I don't want to see you for several hours. And did that today, you'd be arrested.
Well, it was funny. I have a story which will probably get me arrested, and I don't care anymore. Just don't take my kids away, okay? Like, I'm a good mom. But it was pouring fucking rain yesterday at school pickup, and my husband hates using a car because we live in the city. And so, like, obviously, like, I drop my toddler off at her first day of preschool, pick her up again in the pouring rain. I'm 7 months pregnant, by the way. I'm huge. And I asked another parent that had a car there if they could drive me the 4 blocks home to drop me off. And like, oh, I don't know if I have enough seats. And it was like a massive Subaru. I'm like, we'll just pile into the way back. It's fine. It's 4 blocks. They wouldn't do it. They're like, there's no seatbelts back there. And I was like, but it's the way back. It's okay. I'm like, I'm not going to do it for like a 3-hour road trip with my kid, but like, we're just so afraid of everything anymore. I think it's created, and this is a whole other episode, it's creating fucked up kids. It's creating kids who don't know how to live in the goddamn world as the world is burning down around us. But that's another podcast that no one will let me do.
I had that same experience on a family trip recently where my sister-in-law, we were piled into a car and she was like, I'll just hold her on my lap. Carsey, we're going 2 blocks. It's fine.
Two blocks. Yeah. I don't know. Again, like, I think so many corners of the internet are dark and terrible for women. And the ones that are dark, the most dark and terrible are the ones that look the prettiest.
I think you're right because, you know, I'm not a parent, but I can imagine if you're a new mom, it's scary. And then you go to these social media places or spaces that are ostensibly supposed to be about support and helping you, and they just make you feel that much more inadequate and alone and terrified.
Terrible. I would never want to be a new mom again and be scrolling the internet and looking at Instagram. I'm just happy that I'm an old mom at this point who is just going to let a third child fall out of my body and probably sleep in a cardboard box next to it. But I don't have time for it. But I was so terrified about new motherhood, which all new moms are. And then they see these kinds of pictures and they're like, I'm failing. Well, women, we think we're failing every day. I wake up and feel like a failure, even though like rationally, I know that I shouldn't. Like, I write good books, I make good podcasts, but like, I still feel like I'm failing every day. We don't need another person to tell us that we're failing.
Especially not doing so under the guise of, I'm telling you this to help you. This is just for your own good that you need to know this information about how much you're failing as a mom.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't, again, like women working in the home, raising children, doing domestic labor, good thing. Women that say that women have failed by being in the workforce, fuck you. Fuck you real hard.
More after a quick break. Hey, ladies, it's Bridget Todd here. May is High Blood Pressure Education Month. It is crucial for us, especially as Black women, to focus on our heart health. We pour our heart and soul into every aspect of our lives, but often our own health takes a back seat. That's where Release the Pressure comes in. It's all about us, Black women, seeing self-care as an essential act of self-preservation. Whether it's for yourself, your family, or your community, your health is invaluable. Let's help get to our goal of 100,000 Black women putting their hearts first and learn more about their heart health. Here's how you can join in. Head to iHeartRadio.com/RTP for a chance to receive a $1,000 gift card to take care of yourself and prioritize your heart health. Let's make our health a priority. Visit iHeartRadio.com/RTP today. Together, we can make a difference in our health and our lives. Join us and let's take care of our hearts together. Hi, it's Bridget Todd, host of There Are No Girls on the Internet. Listen, technology has made our lives easier in some ways, but it's also made us homebodies, scrolling mindlessly. Well, you get the point. Let Rails to Trails Conservancy unstick you from home. When you get out on a trail and get to walking, you'll feel so good. Trust me. You'll see that being out on the trail is so much more than a day outside. It's good for your soul. Get ideas for getting outside on the trail from Rails to Trails Conservancy, the nation's largest trails, walking, and biking advocacy organization. Visit railstotrails.org/iHeart and on social media at Rails to Trails. So in 2024, one of my goals is to finally get serious about my finances. It's been kind of a big emotional thing for me. Thinking about money historically has caused me a lot of anxiety and stress because I have a lot of trauma related to money. And if you can relate, if that sounds like you, check out Fearless Finance. Fearless Finance provides on-demand, comprehensive financial planning by the hour. It's a new way to get financial advice without all the headaches, high fees, and commitments that come with traditional financial advisors. Fearless Finance planners don't sell anything. No used car salesman vibe here. And that means no concerns about being sold something just for the commission that it earns a rep. Their planners meet you where you are on your financial journey. No judgment, whether you're looking to buy a house, optimize your savings, or just want to make sure your finances are okay. They can answer your questions and help you achieve your goals. No question is too small. No problem is too big. Fearless Finance is making financial advice more affordable and accessible. You meet with your planner virtually, and they charge by the hour. Visit fearlessfinance.com today to get started. You can chat with a planner for free to make sure it's a good fit. And you'll get $50 off your first planning meeting when you use code GIRLS.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let's get right back into it. I do have one last quick question for you. So speaking of all things throwbacky and traditional, especially for women, I happen to know that you have a particular interest in a one Miss Laura Ingalls Wilder. If you don't know who that is, she was the writer of the series Little House on the Prairie, which became a TV show and was massively influential. Can you tell us about that interest and where it might take you next?
What a badass bitch she was. Yes, I love me some Laura Ingalls Wilder. I read all the books growing up, but I'm not as much of an obsessive as my dear friend, Glynis McNichol, who co-hosted Under the Influence with me, and who also married my husband and I in front of a Sphinx 7 years ago. I mean, she's like a freak about Laura Ingalls Wilder. But we're both obsessed with how this woman's real life stories of growing up on the prairie have become like the like most read books, probably among the most read books in the entire world, and also have shaped how we view the American West. And we are doing a new podcast called Wilder, which comes out in March, where we spent a good chunk of this summer traveling around the United States, going to the Laura Ingalls Wilder homesteads and revisiting what her legacy means to America, what she got wrong. She didn't get everything right. She fucked up a lot of stuff. Like, she really, there's a lot more that she could have included in those books about what was happening in Black America at the time, what was happening with the indigenous people whose land that her family was constantly moving on to. That said, she was so ahead of her time in terms of being a wild child who just wanted to explore the world. And those stories, the things we've reported out while doing this podcast have been so fascinating. My favorite is that Laura is really huge with Japanese tourists.
Oh,
huge. She's huge in Japan. Who knew? And it's for a couple of reasons. One, Japanese schools often use the Little House books to teach English. Oh. The darker side of that, many of the internment camps forced people to read the Laura Ingalls Wilder books here in America. And then the television show was wildly popular. So these little towns, these little very white rural towns where Laura's from, get busloads of Japanese tourists visiting them every year. But to their, like, the towns love it. And it has actually opened the town's eyes to different cultures that they never would have experienced were it not for Laura. And so, and that's just like one of the little tidbits that we loved while we were doing this. And yeah, that podcast is coming out in March. I'm also hoping to work on a podcast about Judy Blume and her enduring legacy on our lives.
Oh my God. Women. Please. I am obsessed with Judy Blume. When I was a kid, the book, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. We used to trade it. Like when I was in like fourth or fifth grade, we thought it was like the most grown up, like, you know, book about our bodies and our the way, you know, we would like trade it to each other. Like, ooh, have you read this?
Mm-hmm. No, that one. And then also Dini in Forever. I'm like, this is the dirtiest sex I've ever read about. Yeah. All right, great. You're going to come on that show. I'm trying to get that green lit right now. So you're coming on it. I'm going to tell everyone that I'm in.
I cannot wait.
Great.
Jo, thank you so much for being here. Where can folks keep up with all the cool work that you're doing?
Unfortunately, the fucking Instagram @JoePiazzaAuthor. Like, I spend all of my days trashing Instagram and saying how much I hate it. And then I'm like, this is really the easiest place to find me. So thank you, Instagram. @JoePiazzaAuthor is the easiest place. And I'm going to have this baby in like 2 months. So I'm either going to go dark or I'm going to become a traditional wife.
Well, everyone will have to check in on your Instagram to see which way it goes.
Which way it goes. Exactly.
Awesome.
If you're looking for ways to support the show, check out our merch store at tangodi.com/store. Got a story about an interesting thing in tech or just want to say hi? You can reach us at hello@tangodi.com. You can also find transcripts for today's episode at tangodi.com. There Are No Girls on the Internet was created by me, Bridget Todd. It's a production of iHeartRadio and Unboss Creative, edited by Joey Pat. Jonathan Strickland is our executive producer. Tari Harrison is our producer and sound engineer. Michael Amato is our contributing producer. I'm your host, Bridget Todd. If you want to help us grow, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, ladies, it's Bridget Todd here. As women, we put our hearts into everything. May is High Blood Pressure Education Month, and it's time to focus on our heart health. Release the Pressure wants to help Black women look at self-care as an act of self-preservation. During High Blood Pressure Education Month, let's help get to our goal of 100,000 Black women putting their hearts first and learn more about their heart health. Visit iHeartRadio.com/RTP for a chance to receive a $1,000 gift card to take care of yourself and prioritize your heart health. That's iHeartRadio.com/RTP.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl goes shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.